Lage bzw. Situation, never signifies a position in space, but signifies rather the leeway of the range of that equipmental totality with which it is most closely concerned, a leeway which has been opened up for it in directionality and deseverance. Bringing close makes possible the kind of handling and being busy which is absorbed in the thing one is handling, in der Sache aufgehende, and in such bringing close, the essential structure of care, falling, makes itself known. In falling, and therefore also in the bringing close which is founded in the present, the forgetting which awaits leaps after the present. This is what is distinctive in the existential, temporal constitution of falling. When we make something present by bringing it close from its thence, seinem dorther, the making present forgets the yonder, das dort, and loses itself in itself. Thus it comes about that if observation of entities within the world commences in such a making present, the illusion arises that at first only a thing is present at hand, here of course, but indefinitely, in a space in general. Only on the basis of its ecstatico-horizontal temporality is it possible for Dasein to break into space. The world is not present at hand in space. Yet only within a world does space let itself be discovered. The ecstatical temporality of the spatiality that is characteristic of Dasein makes it intelligible that space is independent of time. But on the other hand, this same temporality also makes intelligible Dasein's dependence on space, a dependence which manifests itself in the well-known phenomenon that both Dasein's interpretation of itself and the whole stock of significations which belong to language in general are dominated through and through by spatial representations. This priority of the spatial in the articulation of concepts and significations has its basis not in some specific power which space possesses, but in Dasein's kind of being. Temporality is essentially falling, and it loses itself in making present. Not only does it understand itself circumspectively in terms of objects of concern which are ready at hand, but from those spatial relationships which making present is constantly meeting in the ready-to-hand as having presence, it takes its clues for articulating that which has been understood and can be interpreted in the understanding in general. Section 71. The temporal meaning of Dasein's everydayness. We have given an interpretation of some structures which are essential to Dasein's state of being, and we have done so before exhibiting temporality, but with the aim of leading up to this. Our analysis of the temporality of concern has shown that these structures must be taken back into temporality existentially. At the very start of our analytic, we did not choose as our theme any definite and distinctive possibility of Dasein's existence. Our analytic was oriented rather by the average way of existing, which has nothing conspicuous about it. We called that kind of being in which Dasein maintains itself proximally and for the most part everydayness. What this expression signifies at bottom, when delimited ontologically, remains obscure. At the beginning of our study, moreover, we could not see any way of even making the existential ontological meaning of everydayness a problem. By now, however, some light has been cast on the meaning of Dasein's being as temporality. Can there still be any doubt as to the existential temporal signification of the term everydayness? All the same, we are far removed from an ontological conception of this phenomenon. It even remains questionable whether the explication of temporality, which we have so far carried through, is sufficient to delimit the existential meaning of everydayness. Everydayness manifestly stands for that way of existing in which Dasein maintains itself every day, alle Tage. And yet this every day does not signify the sum of those days which have been allotted to Dasein in its lifetime. Though this every day is not to be understood calendrically, there is still an overtone of some such temporal character in the signification of the every day, Alltag. But what we have primarily in mind in the expression everydayness is a definite how of existence. by which Dasein is dominated through and through for life, Zeitlebens. In our analyses, we have often used the expression proximally and for the most part. Proximally signifies the way in which Dasein is manifest in the with one another of publicness, even if at bottom everydayness is precisely something which, in an existentiel manner, it has surmounted. For the most part signifies the way in which Dasein shows itself for every man, not always, but as a rule. Everydayness means the how in accordance with which Dasein lives unto the day, in den Tag hineinlebt, whether in all its ways of behaving or only in certain ones which have been prescribed by being with one another. To this how there belongs further the comfortableness of the accustomed, even if it forces one to do something burdensome and repugnant. That which will come tomorrow, and this is what everyday concern keeps awaiting, is eternally yesterday's. In everydayness everything is all one and the same, but whatever the day may bring is taken as diversification. Everydayness is determinative for Dasein, even when it has not chosen the they for its hero. These manifold characteristics of everydayness, however, by no means designate it as a mere aspect afforded by Dasein when one looks at the things men do. Everydayness is a way to be, to which, of course, that which is publicly manifest belongs. But it is more or less familiar to any individual Dasein as a way of existing which it may have as its own, and it is familiar to it through that state of mind which consists of a pallid lack of mood. In everydayness, Dasein can undergo dull suffering, sink away in the dullness of it, and evade it by seeking new ways in which its dispersion in its affairs may be further dispersed. In the moment of vision, indeed, and often just for that moment, existence can even gain the mastery over the everyday, but it can never extinguish it. That which is ontically so familiar in the way Dasein has been factically interpreted, that we never pay any heed to it, hides enigma after enigma, existential ontologically. The natural horizon for starting the existential analytic of Dasein is only seemingly self-evident. But after the interpretation of temporality which we have given thus far, do we find ourselves in any more promising a situation with regard to delimiting the structure of everydayness existentially? Or does this bewildering phenomenon make the inadequacy of our explication of temporality all too patent? Have we not hitherto been constantly immobilizing Dasein in certain situations, while we have consistently with this been disregarding the fact that in living unto its days, Dasein stretches itself along temporally in the sequence of those days? The it's all one and the same, the accustomed, the like yesterday, so today and tomorrow, and for the most part, these are not to be grasped without recourse to this temporal stretching along of Dasein. And is it not also a fact of existing Dasein that in spending its time it takes time into its reckoning from day to day, and regulates this reckoning astronomically and calendrically? Only if both Dasein's everyday historizing and the reckoning with time, with which it concerns itself in this historizing, are included in our interpretation of Dasein's temporality, will our orientation be embracing enough to enable us to make a problem of the ontological meaning of everydayness as such. But because at bottom we mean by the term everydayness nothing else than temporality, while temporality is made possible by Dasein's being, an adequate conceptual delimitation of everydayness can succeed only in a framework in which the meaning of being in general and its possible variations are discussed in principle. Chapter 5. Temporality and Historicality. Section 72. Existential ontological exposition of the problem of history. All our efforts in the existential analytic serve the one aim of finding a possibility of answering the question of the meaning of being in general. To work out this question, we need to delimit that very phenomenon in which something like being becomes accessible, the phenomenon of the understanding of being. But this phenomenon is one that belongs to Dasein's state of being. Only after this entity has been interpreted in a way which is sufficiently primordial can we have a conception of the understanding of being which is included in its very state of being. Only on this basis can we formulate the question of the being which is understood in this understanding, and the question of what such understanding presupposes, even though many structures of Dasein, when taken singly, are still obscure. It seems that by casting light upon temporality as the primordial condition for the possibility of care, we have reached the primordial interpretation of Dasein which we require. We have exhibited temporality with a view to Dasein's authentic potentiality for being a whole. We have then confirmed the temporal interpretation of care by demonstrating the temporality of concernful being in the world. Our analysis of the authentic potentiality for being a whole has revealed that in care is rooted an equiprimordial connectedness of death, guilt, and conscience. Can Dasein be understood in a way that is more primordial than in the projection of its authentic existence? Although up till now we have seen no possibility of a more radical approach to the existential analytic, yet, if we have regard for the preceding discussion of the ontological meaning of everydayness, a difficult consideration comes to light. Have we indeed brought the whole of Dasein, as regards its authentically being a whole, into the forehaving of our existential analysis? It may be that a formulation of the question as related to Dasein's totality possesses a genuinely unequivocal character ontologically. It may be that as regards being towards the end, the question itself may even have found its answer. But death is only the end of Dasein, and taken formally it is just one of the ends by which Dasein's totality is closed round. The other end, however, is the beginning, the birth. Only that entity which is between birth and death presents the whole which we have been seeking. Accordingly, the orientation of our analytic has so far remained one-sided, in spite of all its tendencies towards a consideration of existent being a whole, and in spite of the genuineness with which authentic and inauthentic being towards death have been explicated. Dasein has been our theme only in the way in which it exists facing forward, as it were, leaving behind it all that has been. Not only has being towards the beginning remained unnoticed, but so too and above all has the way in which Dasein stretches along between birth and death. The connectedness of life in which Dasein somehow maintains itself constantly is precisely what we have overlooked in our analysis of being a whole. We have regarded temporality as the meaning of the being of Dasein's totality. Must we not now take this back? Even if what we have described as the connectedness between birth and death is ontologically quite obscure? Or does temporality, as we have exhibited it, first of all give us the basis on which to provide an unequivocal direction for the existential ontological question of this connectedness? In the field of these investigations, it is perhaps already a gain when we learn not to take problems too lightly. What seems simpler than to characterize the connectedness of life between birth and death? It consists of a sequence of experiences in time. But if one makes a more penetrating study of this way of characterizing the connectedness in question, and especially of the ontological assumptions behind it, the remarkable upshot is that, in this sequence of experiences, what is really actual is in each case just that experience which is present at hand in the current now. While those experiences which have passed away or are only coming along either are no longer or are not yet actual. Dasein traverses the span of time granted to it between the two boundaries, and it does so in such a way that, in each case, it is actual only in the now, and hops, as it were, through the sequence of nows of its own time. Thus it is said that Dasein is temporal. In spite of the constant changing of these experiences, the self maintains itself throughout with a certain self-sameness. Opinions diverge as to how that which thus persists is to be defined, and how one is to determine what relation it may possibly have to the changing experiences. The being of this perseveringly changing connectedness of experiences remains indefinite. But at bottom, whether one likes it or not, in this way of characterizing the connectedness of life, one has posited something present at hand in time, though something that is obviously unthing-like. If we have regard for what we have worked out under the title of temporality as the meaning of the being of care, we find that while the ordinary interpretation of Dasein, within its own limits, has its justification and is sufficient, we cannot carry through a genuine ontological analysis of the way Dasein stretches along between birth and death if we take this interpretation as our clue, nor can we even fix upon such an analysis as a problem. Dasein does not exist as the sum of the momentary actualities of experiences which come along successively and disappear. Nor is there a sort of framework which this succession gradually fills up. For how is such a framework to be present at hand where, in each case, only the experience one is having right now is actual, and the boundaries of the framework, the birth which is past and the death which is only oncoming, lack actuality? At bottom, even in the ordinary way of taking the connectedness of life, one does not think of this as a framework drawn tense outside of Dasein and spanning it around, but one rightly seeks this connectedness in Dasein itself. When, however, one tacitly regards this entity ontologically as something present at hand in time, any attempt at an ontological characterization of the being between birth and death will break down. Dasein does not fill up a track or stretch of life, one which is somehow present at hand, with the phases of its momentary actualities. It stretches itself along in such a way that its own being is constituted in advance, as a stretching along. The between which relates to birth and death already lies in the being of Dasein. On the other hand, it is by no means the case that Dasein is actual in a point of time, and that apart from this it is surrounded by the non-actuality of its birth and death. Understood existentially, birth is not and never is something past in the sense of something no longer present at hand, and death is just as far from having the kind of being of something still outstanding, not yet present at hand, but coming along. Factical Dasein exists as born, and as born it is already dying, in the sense of being towards death. As long as Dasein factically exists, both the ends and their between are, and they are in the only way which is possible on the basis of Dasein's being as care. Thrownness and that being towards death in which one either flees it or anticipates it form a unity, and in this unity birth and death are connected in a manner characteristic of Dasein. As care, Dasein is the between. In temporality, however, the constitutive totality of care has a possible basis for its unity. Accordingly, it is within the horizon of Dasein's temporal constitution that we must approach the ontological clarification of the connectedness of life, that is to say, the stretching along, the movement and the persistence which are specific for Dasein. The movement, Bewegtheit, of existence is not the motion, Bewegung, of something present at hand. It is definable in terms of the way Dasein stretches along. The specific movement in which Dasein is stretched along and stretches itself along, we call its historizing. The question of Dasein's connectedness is the ontological problem of Dasein's historizing. To lay bare the structure of historizing and the existential temporal conditions of its possibility signifies that one has achieved an ontological understanding of historicality. With the analysis of the specific movement and persistence which belong to Dasein's historizing, we come back in our investigation to the problem which we touched upon immediately before exposing temporality to view, the question of the constancy of the self, which we defined as the who of Dasein. Self-constancy is a way of being of Dasein, and is therefore grounded in a specific temporalizing of temporality. The analysis of historizing will lead us face to face with the problems of a thematical investigation of temporalizing as such. If the question of historicality leads us back to these sources, then the locus of the problem of history has already been decided. This locus is not to be sought in historiology as the science of history. Even if the problem of history is treated in accordance with a theory of science, not only aiming at the epistemological clarification of the historiological way of grasping things, Simmel, or at the logic with which the concepts of historiological presentation are formed, Rickard, but doing so with an orientation towards the side of the object, then, as long as the question is formulated this way, history becomes in principle accessibly only as the object of a science. Thus the basic phenomenon of history, which is prior to any possible thematizing by historiology and underlies it, has been irretrievably put aside. How history can become a possible object for historiology is something that may be gathered only from the kind of being which belongs to the historical, from historicality, and from the way it is rooted in temporality. If we are to cast light on historicality itself in terms of temporality, and primordially in terms of temporality that is authentic, then it is essential to this task that we can carry it out only by construing it phenomenologically. The existential ontological constitution of historicality has been covered up by the way Dasein's history is ordinarily interpreted. We must get hold of it in spite of all this. The existential way of construing historicality has its definite supports in the ordinary understanding of Dasein, and is guided by those existential structures at which we have hitherto arrived. We shall first describe the ordinary ways in which history is conceived, so that we may give our investigation an orientation as to those items which are commonly held to be essential for history. Here it must be made plain what is primordially considered as historical. The point of attack for expounding the ontological problem of historicality will thus be designated. Our interpretation of Dasein's authentic potentiality for being a whole, and our analysis of care as temporality, an analysis which has arisen from this interpretation, offer us the clue for construing historicality existentially. The existential projection of Dasein's historicality merely reveals what already lies enveloped in the temporalizing of temporality. In accordance with the way in which historicality is rooted in care, Dasein exists, in each case, as authentically or inauthentically historical. It becomes plain that Dasein's inauthentic historicality lies in that which, under the title of everydayness, we have looked upon in the existential analytic of Dasein as the horizon that is closest to us. Disclosing and interpreting belong essentially to Dasein's historizing. Out of this kind of being of the entity which exists historically, there arises the existentielle possibility of disclosing history explicitly and getting it in our grasp. The fact that we can make history our theme, that is to say, disclose it historiologically, is the presupposition for the possibility of the way one builds up the historical world in the humane sciences. The existential interpretation of historiology as a science aims solely at demonstrating its ontological derivation from Dasein's historicality. Only from here can we stake out the boundaries within which any theory of science that is oriented to the factical workings of science may expose itself to the accidental factors in its way of formulating questions. In analyzing the historicality of Dasein, we shall try to show that this entity is not temporal because it stands in history, but that, on the contrary, it exists historically, and can so exist only because it is temporal in the very basis of its being. Nevertheless, Dasein must also be called temporal in the sense of being in time. Even without a developed historiology, factical Dasein needs and uses a calendar and a clock. Whatever may happen to Dasein, it experiences it as happening in time. In the same way, the processes of nature, whether living or lifeless, are encountered in time. They are within time. So while our analysis of how the time of within timeness has its source in temporality will be deferred until the next chapter, it would be easy to put this before our discussion of the connection between historicality and temporality. The historical is ordinarily characterized with the help of the time of within-timeness. But if this ordinary characterization is to be stripped of its seeming self-evidence and exclusiveness, historicality must first be deduced purely in terms of Dasein's primordial temporality. This is demanded even by the way these are objectively connected. Since, however, time as within-timeness also stems from the temporality of Dasein, historicality and within-timeness turn out to be equiprimordial. Thus, within its limits, the ordinary interpretation of the temporal character of history is justified. After this first characterization of the course of the ontological exposition of historicality in terms of temporality, do we still need explicit assurance that the following investigation does not rest upon a belief that the problem of history is to be solved by a coup de main? The poverty of the categorical means at our disposal and the unsureness of the primary ontological horizons become the more obtrusive the more the problem of history is traced to its primordial roots. In the following study, we shall content ourselves with indicating the ontological locus of the problem of historicality. The researchers of Dilthey were, for their part, pioneering work, but today's generation has not as yet made them its own. In the following analysis, the issue is solely one of furthering their adoption. Our exposition of the existential problem of historicality, an exposition which is necessarily limited, moreover, in that its goal is one of fundamental ontology, is divided up as follows. The ordinary understanding of history and Dasein's historizing, section 73, the basic constitution of historicality, section 74, Dasein's historicality and world history, section 75, the existential source of historiology and Dasein's historicality, section 76, the connection of the foregoing exposition of the problem of historicality with the researches of Dilthey, and the ideas of Count York, section 77.
Section 73.
The ordinary understanding of history and Dasein's historizing. Our next aim is to find the right position for attacking the primordial question of the essence of history. That is to say, for construing historicality existentially. This position is designated by that which is primordially historical. We shall begin our study, therefore, by characterizing what one has in view in using the expressions history and historical in the ordinary interpretation of Dasein. These expressions get used in several ways. The most obvious ambiguity of the term history is one that has often been noticed, and there is nothing fuzzy about it. It evinces itself in that this term may mean the historical actuality as well as the possible science of it. We shall provisionally eliminate the signification of history in the sense of a science of history, historiology. The expression history has various significations with which one has in view neither the science of history nor even history as an object. But this very entity itself, not necessarily objectified. Among such significations, that in which this entity is understood as something past, may well be the preeminent usage. This signification is evinced in the kind of talk in which we say that something or other already belongs to history. Here, past means no longer present at hand, or even still present at hand, indeed, but without having any effect on the present. Of course, the historical as that which is past has also the opposite signification. When we say one cannot get away from history, here by history we have in view that which is past, but which nevertheless is still having effects. Howsoever the historical as that which is past is understood to be related to the present, in the sense of what is actual now and today, and to be related to it, either positively or privatively, in such a way as to have effects upon it. Thus, the past has a remarkable double meaning. The past belongs irretrievably to an earlier time. It belonged to the events of that time, and in spite of that it can still be present at hand now, for instance the remains of a Greek temple. With the temple, a bit of the past is still in the present. What we next have in mind with the term history is not so much the past, in the sense of that which is past, but rather derivation, Herkunft, from such a past. Anything that has a history stands in the context of a becoming. In such becoming, development is sometimes a rise, sometimes a fall. What has a history in this way can, at the same time, make such history, as epoch-making it determines a future in the present. Here, history signifies a context of events and effects, which draws on through the past, the present, and the future. On this view, the past has no special priority. Further, history signifies the totality of those entities which change in time, and indeed the transformations and vicissitudes of men, of human groupings and their cultures, as distinguished from nature, which likewise operates in time. Here, what one has in view is not so much a kind of being, historizing, as it is that realm of entities which one distinguishes from nature by having regard for the way in which man's existence is essentially determined by spirit and culture. Even though in a certain manner nature too belongs to history as thus understood. Finally, whatever has been handed down to us is as such held to be historical, whether it is something which we know historiologically, or something that has been taken over as self-evident with its derivation hidden. If we take these four significations together, the upshot is that history is that specific historizing of existent Dasein which comes to pass in time, so that the historizing which is past in our being with one another, and which at the same time has been handed down to us and is continually effective, is regarded as history in the sense that gets emphasized. The four significations are connected in that they relate to man as the subject of events. How is the historizing character of such events to be defined? Is historizing a sequence of processes, an ever-changing emergence and disappearance of events? In what way does this historizing of history belong to Dasein? Is Dasein already factically present at hand to begin with, so that on occasion it can get into a history? Does Dasein first become historical by getting intertwined with events and circumstances? Or is the being of Dasein constituted first of all by historizing, so that anything like circumstances, events, and vicissitudes is ontologically possible only because Dasein is historical in its being? Why is it that the function of the past gets particularly stressed when the Dasein which historizes in time is characterized temporally? If history belongs to Dasein's being and this being is based on temporality, then it would be easy to begin the existential analysis of historicality with those characteristics of the historical which obviously have a temporal meaning. Therefore, by characterizing more precisely the remarkable privileged position of the past in the concept of history, we shall prepare the way for expounding the basic constitution of historicality. The antiquities, preserved in museums, household gear, for example, belong to a time which is past, yet they are still present at hand, in the present. How far is such equipment historical, when it is not yet past? Is it historical, let us say, only because it has become an object of historiological interest, of antiquarian study or national law? But such equipment can be a historiological object only because it is in itself somehow historical. We repeat the question, by what right do we call this entity historical when it is not yet past? Or do these things have in themselves something past, even though they are still present at hand today? Then are these, which are present at hand, still what they were? Manifestly, these things have altered. The gear has become fragile or worm-eaten in the course of time. But that specific character of the past, which makes it something historical, does not lie in this transience, which continues even during the being present at hand of the equipment in the museum. What then is past in this equipment? what were these things which today they are no longer. They are still definite items of equipment for use, but they are out of use. Suppose, however, that they were still in use today, like many a household heirloom. Would they then be not yet historical? All the same, whether they are in use or out of use, they are no longer what they were. What is past? Nothing else than that the world, within which they belonged to a context of equipment, and were encountered as ready to hand and used by a concernful Dasein who was in the world. That world is no longer. But what was formerly within the world with respect to that world is still present at hand. As equipment belonging to a world, that which is now still present at hand can belong nevertheless to the past. But what do we signify by saying of a world that it is no longer? A world is only in the manner of existing Dasein, which factically is as being in the world. Thus the historical character of the antiquities that are still preserved is grounded in the past of that Dasein to whose world they belonged. But according to this, only past Dasein would be historical, not Dasein in the present. However, can Dasein be past at all if we define past as now no longer either present at hand or ready to hand? Manifestly, Dasein can never be past, not because Dasein is non-transient, but because it essentially can never be present at hand. Rather, if it is, it exists. A Dasein which no longer exists, however, is not past in the ontologically strict sense. It is rather having been there, dagewesen. The antiquities which are still present at hand have a character of the past and of history by reason of the fact that they have belonged as equipment to a world that has been, the world of a Dasein that has been there, and that they have been derived from that world. This Dasein is what is primarily historical. But does Dasein first become historical in that it is no longer there? Or is it not historical precisely in so far as it factically exists? Is Dasein just something that has been in the sense of having been there? Or has it been as something futural which is making present? That is to say, in the temporalizing of its temporality. From this provisional analysis of equipment which belongs to history and which is still present at hand, though somehow past, it becomes plain that such entities are historical only by reason of their belonging to the world. But the world has an historical kind of being because it makes up an ontological attribute of Dasein. It may be shown further that when one designates a time as the past, the meaning of this is not unequivocal, but the past is manifestly distinct from one's having been, with which we have become acquainted as something constitutive for the ecstatical unity of Dasein's temporality. This, however, only makes the enigma ultimately more acute. Why is it that the historical is determined predominantly by the past, or, to speak more appropriately, by the character of having been? When that character is one that temporalizes itself equiprimordially with the present and the future. We contend that what is primarily historical is Dasein. That which is secondarily historical, however, is what we encounter within the world. Not only equipment ready to hand in the widest sense, but also the environing nature as the very soil of history. Entities other than Dasein, which are historical by reason of belonging to the world, are what we call world historical. It can be shown that the ordinary conception of world history arises precisely from our orientation to what is thus secondarily historical. World historical entities do not first get their historical character, let us say, by reason of an historiological objectification. They get it rather as those entities which they are in themselves when they are encountered within the world. In analyzing the historical character of equipment which is still present at hand, we have not only been led back to Dasein as that which is primarily historical, but at the same time we have been made to doubt whether the temporal characterization of the historical in general may be oriented primarily to the being in time of anything present at hand. Entities do not become more historical by being moved off into a past which is always farther and farther away, so that the oldest of them would be the most authentically historical. On the other hand, if the temporal distance from now and today is of no primary constitutive significance for the historicality of entities that are authentically historical, this is not because these entities are not in time and are timeless, but because they exist temporally in so primordial a manner that nothing present at hand in time, whether passing away or still coming along, could ever, by its ontological essence, be temporal in such a way. It will be said that these deliberations have been rather petty. No one denies that at bottom human Dasein is the primary subject of history, and the ordinary conception of history which we have cited says so plainly enough. But with the thesis that Dasein is historical, one has in view not just the ontical fact that in man we are presented with a more or less important atom in the workings of world history, and that he remains the plaything of circumstances and events. This thesis raises the problem, to what extent, and on the basis of what ontological conditions, does historicality belong, as an essential constitutive state, to the subjectivity of the historical subject?
Section 74.
The basic constitution of historicality. Dasein factically has its history, and it can have something of the sort because the being of this entity is constituted by historicality. We must now justify this thesis with the aim of expounding the ontological problem of history as an existential one. The being of Dasein has been defined as care. Care is grounded in temporality. Within the range of temporality, therefore, the kind of historizing which gives existence its definitely historical character must be sought. Thus the interpretation of Dasein's historicality will prove to be at bottom just a more concrete working out of temporality. We first revealed temporality with regard to that way of existing authentically which we characterized as anticipatory resoluteness. How far does this imply an authentic historizing of Dasein? We have defined resoluteness as a projecting of oneself upon one's own being guilty, a projecting which is reticent and ready for anxiety. Resoluteness gains its authenticity as anticipatory resoluteness. In this, Dasein understands itself with regard to its potentiality for being, and it does so in such a manner that it will go right under the eyes of death, in order thus to take over in its own thrownness that entity which it is itself, and to take it over wholly. The resolute taking over of one's factical there signifies at the same time that the situation is one which has been resolved upon. In the existential analysis, we could not in principle discuss what Dasein factically resolves in any particular case. Our investigation excludes even the existential projection of the factical possibilities of existence. Nevertheless, we must ask whence, in general, Dasein can draw those possibilities upon which it factically projects itself. One's anticipatory projection of oneself on that possibility of existence which is not to be outstripped, on death, guarantees only the totality and authenticity of one's resoluteness. But those possibilities of existence which have been factically disclosed are not to be gathered from death. And this is still less the case when one's anticipation of this possibility does not signify that one is speculating about it, but signifies precisely that one is coming back to one's factical there. Will taking over the thrownness of the self into its world perhaps disclose an horizon from which existence snatches its factical possibilities away? Have we not said in addition that Dasein never comes back behind its thrownness? Before we decide too quickly whether Dasein draws its authentic possibilities of existence from thrownness or not, we must assure ourselves that we have a full conception of thrownness as a basic attribute of care. As thrown, Dasein has indeed been delivered over to itself and to its potentiality for being, but as being in the world. As thrown, it has been submitted to a world and exists factically with others. Proximally, and for the most part, the self is lost in the they. It understands itself in terms of those possibilities of existence which circulate in the average public way of interpreting Dasein today. These possibilities have mostly been made unrecognizable by ambiguity, yet they are well known to us. The authentic, existentiel understanding is so far from extricating itself from the way of interpreting Dasein, which has come down to us, that in each case it is in terms of this interpretation, against it and yet again for it, that any possibility one has chosen is seized upon in one's resolution. The resoluteness in which Dasein comes back to itself, discloses current factical possibilities of authentic existence, and discloses them in terms of the heritage which that resoluteness as throne takes over. In one's coming back resolutely to one's throneness, there is hidden a handing down to oneself of the possibilities that have come down to one, but not necessarily as having thus come down. If everything good is a heritage and the character of goodness lies in making authentic existence possible, then the handing down of a heritage constitutes itself in resoluteness. The more authentically Dasein resolves, and this means that in anticipating death it understands itself unambiguously, in terms of its own most distinctive possibility, the more unequivocally does it choose and find the possibility of its existence, and the less does it do so by accident. Only by the anticipation of death is every accidental and provisional possibility driven out. Only being free for death gives Dasein its goal outright and pushes existence into its finitude. Once one has grasped the finitude of one's existence, it snatches one back from the endless multiplicity of possibilities which offer themselves as closest to one, those of comfortableness, shirking and taking things lightly, and brings Dasein into the simplicity of its fate, Schicksals. This is how we designate Dasein's primordial historizing, which lies in authentic resoluteness and in which Dasein hands itself down to itself, free for death, in a possibility which it has inherited and yet has chosen. Dasein can be reached by the blows of fate only because in the depths of its being is fate in the sense we have described. Existing fatefully in the resoluteness which hands itself down, Dasein has been disclosed as being in the world both for the fortunate circumstances which come its way and for the cruelty of accidents. Fate does not first arise from the clashing together of events and circumstances. Even one who is irresolute gets driven about by these, more so than one who has chosen, and yet he can have no fate. If Dasein, by anticipation, lets death become powerful in itself, then as free for death, Dasein understands itself in its own superior power, the power of its finite freedom, so that in this freedom, which is only in its having chosen to make such a choice, it can take over the powerlessness of abandonment to its having done so, and can thus come to have a clear vision for the accidents of the situation that has been disclosed. But if fateful Dasein, as being in the world, exists essentially in being with others, its historizing is a co-historizing, and is determinative for it as destiny, Geschick. This is how we designate the historizing of the community, of a people. Destiny is not something that puts itself together out of individual fates, any more than being with one another can be conceived as the occurring together of several subjects. Our fates have already been guided in advance, in our being with one another in the same world, and in our resoluteness for definite possibilities. Only in communicating and in struggling does the power of destiny become free. Dasein's fateful destiny in and with its generation goes to make up the full authentic historizing of Dasein. Fate is that powerless superior power which puts itself in readiness for adversities, the power of projecting oneself upon one's own being guilty, and of doing so reticently with readiness for anxiety. As such, fate requires, as the ontological condition for its possibility, the state of being of care, that is to say, temporality. Only if death, guilt, conscience, freedom, and finitude, reside together equiprimordially in the being of an entity, as they do in care, can that entity exist in the mode of fate? That is to say, only then can it be historical in the very depths of its existence. Only an entity which in its being is essentially futural, so that it is free for its death and can let itself be thrown back upon its factical there, by shattering itself against death, that is to say, only an entity which as futural is equiprimordially in the process of having been, can, by handing down to itself the possibility it has inherited, take over its own thrownness and be in the moment of vision for its time. Only authentic temporality, which is at the same time finite, makes possible something like fate, that is to say, authentic historicality. It is not necessary that in resoluteness one should explicitly know the origin of the possibilities upon which that resoluteness projects itself. It is rather in Dasein's temporality, and there only, that there lies any possibility that the existentiell potentiality for being upon which it projects itself can be gleaned explicitly from the way in which Dasein has been traditionally understood. The resoluteness which comes back to itself and hands itself down then becomes the repetition of a possibility of existence that has come down to us. Repeating is handing down explicitly, that is to say, going back into the possibilities of the Dasein that has been there. The authentic repetition of a possibility of existence that has been, the possibility that Dasein may choose its hero, is grounded existentially in anticipatory resoluteness. For it is in resoluteness that one first chooses the choice which makes one free for the struggle of loyally following in the footsteps of that which can be repeated. But when one has by repetition handed down to oneself a possibility that has been, the Dasein that has been there is not disclosed in order to be actualized over again. The repeating of that which is possible does not bring again, wiederbringen, something that is past, nor does it bind the present back to that which has already been outstripped. Arising as it does from a resolute projection of oneself, repetition does not let itself be persuaded of something by what is past, just in order that this, as something which was formerly actual, may recur. Rather, the repetition makes a reciprocative rejoinder to the possibility of that existence which has been there. But when such a rejoinder is made to this possibility in a resolution, it is made in a moment of vision, and as such, it is at the same time a disavowal of that which in the today is working itself out as the past. Repetition does not abandon itself to that which is past, nor does it aim at progress. In the moment of vision, authentic existence is indifferent to both these alternatives. We characterize repetition as a mode of that resoluteness which hands itself down, the mode by which Dasein exists explicitly as fate. But if fate constitutes the primordial historicality of Dasein, then history has its essential importance neither in what is past nor in the today, and its connection with what is past, but in that authentic historizing of existence which arises from Dasein's future. As a way of being for Dasein, history has its roots so essentially in the future that death, as that possibility of Dasein which we have already characterized, throws anticipatory existence back upon its factical thrownness, and so for the first time imparts to having been its peculiarly privileged position in the historical. Authentic being towards death, that is to say, the finitude of temporality, is the hidden basis of Dasein's historicality. Dasein does not first become historical in repetition, but because it is historical as temporal, it can take itself over in its history by repeating. For this, no historiology is as yet needed. Resoluteness implies handing oneself down by anticipation to the there of the moment of vision. And this handing down we call fate. This is also the ground for destiny, by which we understand Dasein's historizing in being with others. In repetition, fateful destiny can be disclosed explicitly as bound up with the heritage which has come down to us. By repetition, Dasein first has its own history made manifest. Historizing is itself grounded existentially in the fact that Dasein, as temporal, is open ecstatically. So too is the discloseness which belongs to historizing, or rather so too is the way in which we make this discloseness our own. That which we have hitherto been characterizing as historicality, to conform with the kind of historizing which lies in anticipatory resoluteness, we now designate as Dasein's authentic historicality. From the phenomena of handing down and repeating, which are rooted in the future, it has become plain why the historizing of authentic history lies preponderantly in having been. But it remains all the more enigmatic in what way this historizing as fate is to constitute the whole connectedness of Dasein from its birth to its death. How can recourse to resoluteness bring us any enlightenment? Is not each resolution just one more single experience in the sequence of the whole connectedness of our experiences? Is the connectedness of authentic historizing to consist, let us say, of an uninterrupted sequence of resolutions? Why is it that the question of how the connectedness of life is constituted finds no adequate and satisfying answer? Is not our investigation over hasty? Does it not, in the end, hang too much on the answer, without first having tested the legitimacy of the question? Nothing is so plain from the course of the existential analytic so far as the fact that the ontology of Dasein is always falling back upon the allurements of the way in which being is ordinarily understood. The only way of encountering this fact methodologically is by studying the source of the question of how Dasein's connectedness is constituted, no matter how obvious this question may be, and by determining within what ontological horizon it moves. If historicality belongs to the being of Dasein, then even inauthentic existing must be historical. What if it is Dasein's inauthentic historicality that has directed our questioning to the connectedness of life and has blocked off our access to authentic historicality and its own peculiar connectedness? However this may be treated, we cannot do without a study of Dasein's inauthentic historicality if our exposition of the ontological problem of history is to be adequate and complete.
Section 75.
Dasein's historicality and world history. Proximally, and for the most part, Dasein understands itself in terms of that which it encounters in the environment, and that with which it is circumspectively concerned. This understanding is not just a bare taking cognizance of itself, such as accompanies all Dasein's ways of behaving. Understanding signifies one's projecting oneself upon one's current possibility of being in the world. That is to say, it signifies existing as this possibility. Thus, understanding as common sense constitutes even the inauthentic existence of the they. When we are with one another in public, our everyday concern does not encounter just equipment and work. It likewise encounters what is given along with these: affairs, undertakings, incidents, mishaps. The world belongs to everyday trade and traffic as the soil from which they grow and the arena where they are displayed. When we are with one another in public, the others are encountered in activity of such a kind that one is in the swim with it oneself. One is acquainted with it, discusses it, encourages it, combats it, retains it and forgets it. But one always does so primarily with regard to what is getting done and what is going to come of it. Was herausspringt. We compute the progress which the individual Dasein has made, his stoppages, readjustments, and output. And we do so proximally in terms of that with which he is concerned, its course, its status, its changes, its availability. No matter how trivial it may be to allude to the way in which Dasein is understood in everyday common sense, Ontologically, this understanding is by no means transparent. But in that case, why should not Dasein's connectedness be defined in terms of what it is concerned with and what it experiences? Do not equipment and work and everything which Dasein dwells alongside belong to history too? If not, is the historizing of history just the isolated running off of streams of experience in individual subjects? Indeed, history is neither the connectedness of motions in the alterations of objects, nor a free-floating sequence of experiences which subjects have had. Does the historizing of history then pertain to the way subject and object are linked together? Even if one assigns zuweist historizing to the subject-object relation, we then have to ask what kind of being belongs to this linkage as such, if this is what basically historizes. The thesis of Dasein's historicality does not say that the worldless subject is historical, but that what is historical is the entity that exists as being in the world. The historizing of history is the historizing of being in the world. Dasein's historicality is essentially the historicality of the world, which, on the basis of extatico-horizontal temporality, belongs to the temporalizing of that temporality. Insofar as Dasein exists, factically, it already encounters that which has been discovered within the world. With the existence of historical being in the world, what is ready to hand and what is present at hand have already, in every case, been incorporated into the history of the world. Equipment and work, for instance, books, have their fates. Buildings and institutions have their history. And even nature is historical. It is not historical, to be sure, insofar as we speak of natural history. But nature is historical as a countryside, as an area that has been colonized or exploited, as a battlefield or as the site of a cult. These entities within the world are historical as such, and their history does not signify something external which merely accompanies the inner history of the soul. We call such entities the world historical. Here we must notice that the expression world history, which we have chosen and which is here understood ontologically, has a double signification. The expression signifies, for one thing, the historizing of the world in its essential existent unity with Dasein. At the same time, we have here in view the historizing within the world of what is ready to hand and present at hand, insofar as entities within the world are, in every case, discovered with the factically existent world. The historical world is factical only as the world of entities within the world. That which happens with equipment and work, as such, has its own character of movement, and this character has been completely obscure up until now. When, for instance, a ring gets handed over to someone and worn, this is a kind of being in which it does not simply suffer changes of location. The movement of historizing in which something happens to something is not to be grasped in terms of motion as change of location. This holds for all world historical processes and events, and even in a certain manner for natural catastrophes. Quite apart from the fact that if we were to follow up the problem of the ontological structure of world historical historizing, we would necessarily be transgressing the limits of our theme, we can refrain from this all the more because the very aim of this exposition is to lead us face to face with the ontological enigma of the movement of historizing in general. We need only delimit that phenomenal range, which we necessarily must also have in view ontologically, when we talk of Dasein's historicality. The transcendence of the world has a temporal foundation, and by reason of this, the world historical is, in every case, already, objectively, there, in the historizing of existing being in the world, without being grasped historiologically. And because factical Dasein in falling is absorbed in that with which it concerns itself, it understands its history world historically in the first instance. And because, further, the ordinary understanding of being understands being as presence at hand without further differentiation, the being of the world historical is experienced and interpreted in the sense of something present at hand, which comes along, has presence, and then disappears. And finally, because the meaning of being in general is held to be something simply self-evident. The question about the kind of being of the world historical and about the movement of historizing in general has really just the barren circumstantiality of a verbal sophistry. Everyday Dasein has been dispersed into the many kinds of things which daily come to pass. The opportunities and circumstances which concern keeps tactically awaiting in advance have fate as their outcome. In terms of that with which inauthentically existing Dasein concerns itself, it first computes its history. In so doing, it is driven about by its affairs. So, if it wants to come to itself, it must first pull itself together from the dispersion and disconnectedness of the very things that have come to pass. And because of this, it is only then that there at last arises from the horizon of the understanding which belongs to inauthentic historicality the question of how one is to establish a connectedness of Dasein, if one does so in the sense of experiences of a subject, experiences which are also present at hand. The possibility that this horizon for the question should be the dominant one is grounded in the irresoluteness which goes to make up the essence of the self's inconstancy. We have thus pointed out the source of the question of the connectedness of Dasein in the sense of the unity with which experiences are linked together between birth and death. At the same time, the origin of this question betrays that it is an inappropriate one if we are aiming at a primordial existential interpretation of Dasein's totality of historizing. On the other hand, despite the predominance of this natural horizon for such questions, it becomes explicable why Dasein's authentic historicality, fate and repetition, looks as if it least of all could supply the phenomenal basis for bringing into the shape of an ontologically grounded problem what is at bottom intended in the question of the connectedness of life. This question does not ask how Dasein gains such a unity of connectedness that the sequence of experiences, which has ensued and is still ensuing, can subsequently be linked together. It asks rather in which of its own kinds of being Dasein loses itself in such a manner that it must, as it were, only subsequently pull itself together out of its dispersal and think up for itself a unity in which that together is embraced. Our lostness in the they and in the world historical has earlier been revealed as a fleeing in the face of death. Such fleeing makes manifest that being towards death is a basic attribute of care. Anticipatory resoluteness brings this being towards death into authentic existence. The historizing of this resoluteness, however, is the repetition of the heritage of possibilities by handing these down to oneself in anticipation. And we have interpreted this historizing as authentic historicality. Is perhaps the whole of existence stretched along in this historicality in a way which is primordial and not lost, and which has no need of connectedness? The self's resoluteness against the inconstancy of distraction is in itself a steadiness which has been stretched along, the steadiness with which Dasein as fate incorporates into its existence birth and death and their between, and holds them as thus incorporated, so that in such constancy Dasein is indeed in a moment of vision for what is world historical in its current situation. In the fateful repetition of possibilities that have been, Dasein brings itself back immediately, that is to say, in a way that is temporally ecstatical, to what already has been before it. But when its heritage is thus handed down to itself, its birth is caught up into its existence in coming back from the possibility of death, the possibility which is not to be outstripped, if only so that this existence may accept the thrownness of its own there in a way which is more free from illusion. Resoluteness constitutes the loyalty of existence to its own self. As resoluteness which is ready for anxiety, this loyalty is at the same time a possible way of revering the sole authority which a free existing can have, of revering the repeatable possibilities of existence. Resoluteness would be misunderstood ontologically if one were to suppose that it would be actual as experience only as long as the act of resolving lasts. In resoluteness lies the existentiel constancy which, by its very essence, has already anticipated for Wegener.